Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Great. Just for some of the parents, there's a mother's room up there in the foyer and also a live feed on the side. So you're more than welcome. Will you just greet somebody next to you and say, why are you smiling like that this morning? It's just like, I haven't seen a smile like that for a long time. I always appreciate mornings like this when there isn't a lot of people in church, because it's not about numbers. It's about our hearts. And I remember Uncle Stephen Lungu that shared a story. We in Johannesburg one day preached, or they invited him to come and preach. And there was only one person in the congregation. And the pastor was a bit thrown, and he said, well, maybe we should cancel this meeting. And he said, no, he's prepared, and this person has come prepared, so let me preach. So he stood on the pulpit, and he preached. And there was one person and the pastor. And this one guy came to the front. Gave his heart to the Lord, committed his life to Christ, had an experience with God. The whole congregation laid hands on each other at the same time. You know, it was 100% response. He said it was the best response he's ever seen, 100%, you know. Even the pastor was in the front. So he said the three of them, and the amazing story is 3 or 4 years later, he came to another church, and there was 300 or 400 people in. And then he realized that that guy became the pastor of that new church, the one he led to the Lord. That just God started a massive revival through that one person. So for God, it's not about numbers. It's really our hearts and our openness to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad my wife, she's normally at children's church, but she's here this morning. So I'm very nervous, because she's the one that keeps me on the straight and narrow. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for this life. And we thank you, God, that this morning there's a freedom in our hearts to worship you. And Lord, where many of our brothers and sisters all across the world, Lord, are suffering great persecution, we thank you this morning that we can come together as your family, as your children. And Lord, we're not here for mere words or nice sermons. Lord, we're here, Holy Spirit, because you are the breath of life. You bring a fragrance of Christ. And this morning we pray that you will open the eyes of our understanding to see and to know. And Lord, to walk in your fullness. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that Jesus, you bought on the cross. And we want to walk in that freedom. We thank you that you've come to set the captives free. We've come here, Lord, to be healed, to know the fullness, Lord, of your power, Lord, and of your resurrection, but also of your suffering. And we thank you, Lord, for that freedom. We say, yes, Lord. We lay down every distraction, every accusation, every condemnation, every guilt, every shame. And we thank you, Lord, for your life in abundance. And we commit ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our emotions. Lord, unite our hearts this morning so that we can fear your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was speaking this week to some of the people from Christ for All Nations, and they're very excited because Pastor Reinhard Bunker, or Evangelist Reinhard Bunker, is planning his last sort of outreach. And they've got a choir that they're putting together of 22,000 people. They have 500,000 counselors that they're training for November for these meetings that will be over 2 million people in one single meeting. And so we were talking a lot about these things, and also about the spiritual realm and how things sometimes work differently. And this one leader started to speak, and he shared a scary story. He said the other day in Nigeria, this one guy stole something, and then the police went after him, and the guy did shape-shifting. He actually turned into a goat. So they arrested the goat. It was in the newspapers. They arrested the goat, and the goat was in jail. Yeah. Now, I was sitting there, I was thinking like crazy, you know. But there is a Nigerian, yeah, hey, Jason, does that happen in Nigeria, you know? I'm going to pick on Jason this morning, but we're sitting in a town where intellectual pride and intellectual satisfaction and intellectual pursuit is at the heart of a campus and a place like ours. And yet we are surrounded not by a postmodern society anymore. We've really become a pagan society, like you read in the Bible, you know, where even the occult and the negative things, the devil is sort of starting to show himself in ways that he hasn't ever before. And that's why we as believers, when we come to God, there are some stuff that happens out there that you cannot explain with your natural mind, that you cannot figure out with science, you know. And so if you go to the Bible and you find that Jesus and his disciples were in the boat the one moment and the next moment they were 2 kilometers further on the shore, how does that happen? Your mind is going to blow completely out, you know. Or Philip, that woke up one morning in his quiet time and the Holy Spirit says, run into the wilderness, and he runs, and there he gets the Ethiopian eunuch, and he preaches the gospel to him. He gets him baptized, and then the Bible says the next moment he was 30 kilometers away. I don't know about you, but that's sort of like, whoa, how does that work? And yet it's stuff in the Bible that we cannot wish away, and I know I'm throwing some stuff out here, but if we try to pursue God intellectually, we will always fall short of what he has intended for us. And let's jump to Luke chapter 10, because this is where we want to start. In Luke 10, verse 17 to 21, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And listen to this, what he says. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of the occult. Nevertheless, he says. Now, when the Bible says nevertheless, you have to take note. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. So here we see Jesus sending his disciples. They're going out and they're beginning to pray for people. Satan falls like lightning from heaven. There's deliverances. There's the supernatural happening. And then Jesus says, but nevertheless, don't rejoice in this. So if we talk about the spiritual realm, what we're talking about today, then don't rejoice in this. Don't make that your pursuit. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father. Isn't this amazing? I didn't know that the band is planning that last song. But to access the spiritual realm, thankfulness is just part of that. And you can read in the prayers that Jesus prayed, how many times he just thanked the Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. There's something that God wants to give us, and yet Jesus thanks the Father, and he says, I thank you, Lord, that it's not about the intellectual or the wisdom. You've sort of hidden it from those type of people. But here we sit with a couple of disciples, fishermen that probably didn't have front teeth, and they were like, no, just people that we would normally sometimes walk past, you know. And he says, thank you, Lord, that you have hidden it from a certain type of person. You've hidden the spiritual realm from them. You have not showed them, but these little babes, these ones, there's something in their hearts. You've revealed it to them. You've shown them, Lord, that there's a access, there's a power, there's a God that's alive. And Lord, I just bless you that you have brought it to show them. And that's why you and I, when we sit here this morning, it's not our intellectual pursuit or what we drive or what we go, but the greatest thing that you can have in your life is the presence of God. The fact that God speaks to you, that He speaks to me. The fact that we can walk in light and revelation. So I'm talking this morning a bit about revelation knowledge. Are you with me? Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, why are you still smiling like that? Because some of you look like, whoa, what's happening here, you know? You're still figuring out, how did that man turn into a goat? Now, I'm trying to figure that out for a week, and I can't. My mind is just blown. It's called shape-shifting, and it happens in this world. In Matthew 16, this is probably, for me, the turning point in Jesus' ministry with His disciples. There's this moment that Jesus comes, and it's very profound if you understand, but He says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Verse 15, He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. So He refers back to Peter's name as Simon Bar-Jonah. He says, blessed are you in the flesh, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And now we can almost miss the whole story because He refers first to Simon Bar-Jonah. He says, in the flesh, you are Simon Bar-Jonah, but you are Peter. It's suddenly a shift in the way that Christ speaks to Peter. He says, you know, in the flesh, you can walk around, you can try your best, you can have an intellectual pursuit, but you know what? God has shown me you're a Peter. And He says, on this rock I will build My church. Not on Peter, because there's a whole church movement through the ages that says, no, Peter is the revelation. Not you, Peter, there at the back. You know, you can relax. You know, but there's, they say Peter was the founder of the church. But it's not what He's talking about. He's talking about revelation knowledge. He says, on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Isn't that amazing? He says that Jesus says, I will build My church on this revelation. I will build My church on something much greater than just a normal structure or coming together. Because even if it feels very natural for us to come together, Jesus is building His church this morning, but He's building it on revelation knowledge. He's building it on a group of people whose eyes are open, but spiritual eyes. And then He says in verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. And listen to this. Then He commanded His disciples that they should tell no one that He was Jesus the Christ. Jesus didn't go around and say, hey, I'm the Christ, follow me. I'm the Messiah, follow me. In the modern day charismatic church, we see people just like, writing books and doing everything, and because preachers want to be popular. But isn't this amazing? Jesus comes right in, and in this moment with Him and the disciples, He says, okay, Peter, let's talk about this. Who do people say that I am? So even today, if you walk around in this town, there's a lot of opinions of who Jesus is. And right at the center, some say, no, He's a prophet. Yes, He was around. He was a good guy. Yes, He was a nice person. Oh, He changed some lives, but I don't like these Christians. I don't like all of that. There's a lot of opinions. But if Christ would stand in front of you and I this morning or in front of our church here and say, who do you show for in Stellenbosch? Who do you say that I am? You and I can respond and say, yes, Jeremiah, you're a prophet. Yes, you're a nice person, but Peter answers in a specific way. He says, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Isn't that amazing? You're not a son of a dead God. You are the Christ. And this is the turning point in Jesus' relationship with the disciples right there. He says, because now once you've seen this, Peter, that I'm the Christ, I'm the anointed one, do you know what? I'm going to build my church on that. I'm going to build my church on this relationship that we have, but because you recognize who I am. And so many times in your and my life, you know what happens is you'll be in a crisis situation or you go sometimes through a tough time, and then Jesus will come and stand right in front of you and he'll ask this question. Who do you say that I am? And then our response must come out of a place of revelation. It must come out of a place of what the Bible says who Christ is. And that's called faith. That's called the ability to respond to truth rather than just to say, oh, Lord, do you know what? I don't really believe. I don't. But here Peter says it loudly. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Will you say that with me? Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, this is what he says, and then he gives us these promises. He says, but I'm going to give you keys. I'm going to begin to give you stuff that will unlock doors into the spiritual realm. Don't be afraid of them. Don't run away. He says, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to build my church. That's what Jesus says. The pastor can't build the church. You and I can't build the church. But Jesus builds it on revelation. And then finally, this challenging place where he says, okay, guys, do you know what? It doesn't help you just to run around and try to intellectually tell people that I'm the Messiah. If you're going to try and even reach people through the Simon Bar Jonah and not through the Peter, then something is going to happen. You're going to have a lot of arguments, and I'm not against apologetics. I'm not against that. But sometimes we really think that we must reason people into the kingdom. And reasoning and apologetics, that's to plant seeds into people's lives. But it's only the power of God. It's only revelation. It's only that moment when somebody stands before God and says, you are truly the Christ. It's a spiritual revelation. Can I get an amen? That was a good place to say amen. Okay, but here this moment, I've got a bit of an imagination. So I just always think like, wow, what this moment that Christ had with his disciples. And he asked questions. Isn't it amazing that God asks us very uncomfortable questions sometimes? And it was only after this, you can go and read it, only after this that Jesus started to prepare his disciples for the cross. It was the first time after this meeting that he started to say to them, okay, I'm going to go to the cross. Because he knew if there's not a spiritual revelation of who he is, then the Simon is going to manifest all the time. And the Simon did manifest sometimes, cutting off the ear. And we're going to fight in the flesh. We're going to do it in the flesh. How many times do you and I try to tackle spiritual problems with natural means? And Jesus says, I can't build my church on that. And that's why when we come together, it's in that spiritual war room. It's in that moments with God. It's in that moments when we start to confess who he is. And that's why worship is so important. I'm a bit challenged sometimes through some of the worship songs we sing because the worship focuses on me and not on God. But I like the scriptural worship songs where we sing as to who God is. We proclaim who he is because something in us changes. It's not God who changes. It's us who changes when we come and align ourselves and say, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are alive. You're not dead. And the moment when we come to that place, then God gives us keys. God begins to open up heavens. He says, even what you bind and what you loose, it will happen. There's enough people in this room that when we come into agreement concerning the purposes of God over our nation, it will happen. But we tackle it in the spiritual realm, not in the natural realm. Because in the natural realm, you're going to murmur. I'm going to murmur. We're going to complain and say, oh, my chona, you know. Oh, you know, I remember being in Myanmar and we were driving at the back of this little truck and it was raining and all this stuff. And this pastor comes and all the pastors, and they just start to, they say, okay, we're going to rejoice in the spirit now. Yeah. And you know, when most of us do that in the Western thing, we say like, oh, yo, okay, two minutes, you know, 2 minutes and then thank you, Jesus. And then we like go on with life. But I saw these old uncles and aunties, you know, pastors, and the next moment they just started to dance. It was a pastor's conference. They started to go bananas for Jesus. Have you ever seen somebody go bananas for Jesus? I'm not going to show you, but you know, it's just like, they went around. I wish I had a clip just to, we have a clip, but I'll just show you how these people rejoiced because of the cross. And they started to dance and throw stuff around, and they went bananas. They just like, I was standing there for a moment, and I thought like, okay, Lord, I feel a bit unsaved. Because you know what, you and I, we first want to think about how we feel about that. And we have forgotten, we've lost the ability to rejoice in the Spirit like Jesus. Just enter into the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. This is basic 101, and this is what Jesus wanted to show his disciples. But with a simple question, who do you say I am? Felix, who do you say Jesus is? Because your answer will determine a lot. Your answer will determine, you know, or it will determine, wow, what he can do. Do you know that with intellectualism, and this is a stronghold over this town, if you have not noticed that, intellectualism brings a lot of pride with it. It brings a lot of division. That's why our town is one of the most divided towns that we find in our country. Between different race groups, socioeconomic groups. Intellectualism brings you to a place where you can easily judge other people. But isn't it amazing that revelation and humility brings an open door? It just breaks things open. I remember one day being in the northern parts of Malawi, and we had a lot of outreaches. Like good Malawian pastors, they make you preach. They make you preach like 10 times a day. So we were probably on preaching sermon number 9 in that specific day, because you just go from one place to another and you preach. You sometimes forget to eat and you just go for it, you know. And right at the end of the day, I was so tired, and I was just standing there. I was thinking, okay, Lord, I don't have any energy left. Yeah, and I'll never forget it in my life. The next moment, I saw somebody, and I thought it was a child, but it was actually a man who had no legs. His legs were cut off right here. And he walked to the front of the meeting, and in this red dust, Malawian dust, he was jumping up and down on those legs, lifting up his hands, falling on his face before God, worshiping God. And I was standing there, I was thinking like, whoa, Lord, I've got legs to stand on. And I felt so convicted not to do more, just to realize how privileged I am to have a freedom. And here this man was like lying in the red dust. When he stood up, he said, Jesus saved a sinner like me. Haven't we seen stuff like that in the one guy who comes, the Pharisee and the Sadducee, who prays and says, oh God. And then the other sinner just beats his chest and say, Lord, thank you for saving a sinner like me. Revelation knowledge. And God wants all of us to walk into it. But the challenge is, it's not something you can teach people. It's not something you can just say, hey, wake up, you know. And I'm not against theology, but theology is really a study of God. We must study the Word. But if the Word is just logos, it is dead. If there's no rhema word, if there's no revelation with it, we cannot walk in the fullness of God. Listen to this in Ephesians 4, verse 7 to 8. It says, but to every one of us, say every one of us, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, let's read that again. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. If we look at the modern day charismatic church, sometimes we say, yo, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit a while ago. That's great. But Scripture says, be continually filled. Ephesians 5, 18 and 20. If I read the book of Acts, I feel very convicted and I say, God, we still got a long way to go. Because there's a group of people that understood, money I don't have, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I have a shadow. See, when you have an intellectual pursuit, you think you can buy stuff with money. But when you have a spiritual pursuit, you can be like Peter that walks up to the gate beautiful and there's a man sitting there and I say, well, money I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. I have the presence of God. I've been seeing Jesus stand up and walk. Isn't that true riches, people? It's spiritual riches. It's the ability to say, I'm going to give you something that money can't buy. And then each one comes into that gifting. And this is not a spooky place. This is just a place that God has called each one of us to walk in. And I want to challenge some of us, don't be afraid of the supernatural. Sometimes we've had negative experiences because I've also had somebody coming to me. I remember I was in the high school. And I was standing there and it was the first time I went to a charismatic church where people lifted up their hands. And I thought I'm going to be slaughtered. There was this red curtain at the back there. I thought like they kill people here. I said, Lord, please, I'll serve you for the rest of my life if you just take me alive out of this place, you know. That because I was very conservative. And then at the end, this guy came and he just started to pray for me, but he sort of pushed me and I just resisted. I just said, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. And this guy was persistent. He was going to push me over, you know. So I just said, never again, you know. And praise God, the next week I was there again, you know. Because I couldn't resist the Holy Spirit. Although there was like this guy trying to push me over, you know. So don't worry, we won't push you over in church. But I've seen people fall flat on their faces before God. So why do we limit God and we form our doctrine around the negatives? We should form our doctrine around the Bible. And if I read the book of Acts, there are some intense stuff that's happening there. Some stuff that takes me completely out of my comfort zone. Can somebody agree with me? Oh, do you agree or don't you agree? Just say, this is no, this is yes, okay? In India, this is like yes, but we're not in India. Okay, India, okay? It's either no or it's yes, okay? But isn't this amazing? God says he led captivity captive. He broke. He opened up the doors. He's called us to set the captives free, and he's given us gifts. He says he's given us a grace. And it doesn't mean all of us need to jump up and down and take oil and throw to everybody. But there's a gift that God wants you to enter into. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. And if we as the church are not going to arise and shine, we're in trouble. Because what's happening is the occult is coming out. Everybody's coming out. Every ism is coming out. And now it's the time for the church to come out of the closet. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Although deep darkness may cover the earth, the Lord's light will shine over you. And I want to encourage you, maybe you don't run around and pray for everybody, but just take one step further from where you were and say, God, I want to get out of my comfort zone. And I promise you, God is going to send you people. I've had the privilege of God seeing how God raised two people from the dead, and I was more shocked than the person that rose from the dead. Lucas was in London now, you know, it was this guy sat up and he ran, and I thought, like, for 10 minutes I said to Lucas, what just happened? I am shocked. He was dead. Now he's alive. Now Lucas was a second year student, and he says, but that's what happened in the Bible. Why are you so shocked? <You know? laughs> And I said, but did this really happen now? You know, because the first thing in my mind is I wanted to go and get the ambulance people to get this dead body, you know, and carry the dead body away. So God will take you out of your comfort zone sometimes. That's why I use young people. That's why I want to encourage your parents. Lay hands on your kids. Prophesy over them. God is raising up a generation. You know, we see it in the Bible that even in the womb, some people were spiritual. When that baby leaped when Jesus came. It is so amazing. And there's some of us that must be a Simeon and an Anna that prays in the next generation. Some of us that when those old uncles stood, uncle and auntie stood there at the temple and the baby was there and they said, well, this is it. I've seen it. I've prayed the promises of God into being. This is it. We never read about them again. For some of us, it's just prayer. Some of us, it's serving. But you know, the sound man here must be just as anointed as the preacher in front. Because there's no difference. It's just a difference of function. That's how the church should operate. Out of revelation knowledge. Amen? Okay, we're going to take oil now and pray for everybody. I'm serious. Okay. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 9 to 10. Listen to the promises of God. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. Now, I don't know why that yeah is there. It must be for the Australians. Okay, I don't know. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of man within him? So, also, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I was thinking a lot this week where Jesus said, without God, you can do nothing. We try to redefine that nothing, but when you take it to the Chinese language, it means nothing. When you take it to the Indian language, it means nothing, you know. But it doesn't matter how you say it, the word nothing is nothing. Would you agree with me? Without God, we can do nothing. Okay? It doesn't matter how you try to pronounce it differently in a different accent or Nigerian, not dong, you know? But without God, you can and I can do nothing. Why do we assume the right that we have got something that we can do outside of Christ, outside of our walk with the Holy Spirit? And if it only remains, and I'm not against intellectualism, but if we only remain in the intellect and pursue God into the intellect, we will fall for a spirit of unbelief. And then you come like with Jesus, he comes to this place. And the Bible says Jesus could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Many people today in the Western world, there's such a depression, anxiety. Most students, even here on our campus, suffer with intense anxiety and depression problems. Do you know how many of our children are on Ritalin and a lot of medication to calm them down, to just make them normal? Because that's the world we're living in. And now we say that's normal. When 80% of students in the world today on campuses struggle with depression. I wonder why. Because the intellectual pursuit and the pressures will not change anything concerning your spiritual condition. Amen? And that's why this Paul writes here and he says, when you come to God, the Holy Spirit wants to unleash deep things in your life concerning who God is, concerning His plans, concerning what He has, the deep things of God. Because man cannot reveal that to you. But it's in your desire, it's in your hunger, it's in your thirst for Him. And it means that you and I need to give up control. We need to let go. I'm not speaking against an intellectual pursuit this morning. I'm just saying, that can't be the only way in which you want to pursue God in His Word. Because that's why Jesus stood there and He says, I thank You, Father, that You have revealed these things to the babes, not to the wise and to the prudent. And that's why God uses the foolish things of this world to profound the wise. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk into a place, even when we start to celebrate people around us, then we start to treat them in the way that God shows us who they are. Because if you only treat your husband or your wife in the natural, you're going to be in trouble. Because your intellect is going to say, you never do that. You always do that. Until you begin to release them into who God wants them to be. God actually gives you the power, the keys, to release other people into their calling. But then you have to start to treat them in that way. It's called celebration. It's called honor. Our culture breaks people down and always know what's wrong and always know the critical and always know the negative. But when you start to walk into somebody's life and you start to say to them, do you know what, Simon Bar-Jonah, you're a Peter. Do you know, Simon Bar-Jonah, you are a Peter. God has shown me. Do you know, Simon Bar-Jonah, you are a Peter. God has shown me. I wish I could be there where Jesus prayed for these disciples. Through the night He prayed. I wish I could hear what He was praying for. Oh God, give me the strong 12 people of the University of Jerusalem so that we can conquer the world. God, give me the mighty ones that can fight with a sword. I wonder what Jesus prayed for there up on that mountain. God, give me the hungry. Those who are hungry to do Your will. God, show me what You see, not what I see. Show me who You've appointed, not who I want to be appointed. Because we'll go for the strong, we'll go for the rich, we'll go for the... God doesn't choose like that. Have you read the story of David? This short little guy with spritter, with sprites on his nose, you know. He wasn't even in the lineup. Okay? He wasn't even part of the choice because his father just decided David is not going to make it. He doesn't make the cut. He's not in the first team. He's like in G, team G, you know, out there. So the father lines up all the big sons, the mighty sons, and the prophet comes and says, no, not these ones. There must be one more. God showed me. Pull him out. And here comes little short David, probably with the spiky hair like this, gelled his hair that morning. And just say, we're going to do it. Yeah. Isn't that amazing how God's choice is different? Okay? So we can all spike our hair now. But when we start to see each other in that way, do you know we have the release? We have the ability to step up and encourage others, to build into other people. Not to manipulate, to control, to be familiar with them, but to come like Jesus and say, hey guys, you're going to run away from me, but you know what? I'm going to go away and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And you're going to do greater works than what I did. What a profound statement. You're going to do greater works than what I ever did. And Jesus did mighty works. But Jesus could step back so that there would be a release over the people around Him. And I want to challenge us to think differently of the people in your small group. Because sometimes we come and we say, oh, my Khuna, there's this one with this trouble again. Oh, I wish she didn't see me because, oh, she's always moaning and complaining. Then all you do is go to God and say, God, show me who this person is. Show me who they are so that they can be. I can release them and I can begin to speak and speak Your word and prophesy over them. Peter, you're a Peter. You're not a Simon. Jesus had to say that many times. Peter, right at the end, even ran back to fishing. And then Jesus stands there and he bries, you know, he barbecues the fish. And he says, Peter, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Peter, although you've run away, I'll never run away. I'm going to find you on that shore. And I'm going to release you into what you need to do. Isn't that amazing about the heart of God? So I'm going to end off. Do you know what? When God looks at you this morning, you're not just an ordinary person. I'm not just an ordinary person. He looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He looks at us through everything He's made provision for you and me. He doesn't look at you at the Simon. But what He does is He comes and He stands in front of you and I and He says, okay, but what do you say? Who do you say that I am? Because He can only release the Peter in your life once you say who He is. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the anointed one of God. And some of us must say that over our family. Some of us must say that over a family member. Maybe you're praying for a long time and you say, well, I've been praying and there's just no breakthrough. That person cannot see God. I don't know. But you just pray. And that's why Paul taught us and says, pray that the veils will lift so that they will see God. Pray that the eyes of their understanding will open up so that they can see who God is. And then the goodness of God will lead them to repentance. Lord, open, lift the veils. They're blinded by this world, but lift the veils, I pray, that they can see. There's some of us in this place this morning, we have a desire to see God, but you've not seen God. And you can't do it in yourself. You need Jesus to come to stand in front of you and say, who do you say that I am? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, you're a Peter. Blessed are you. Now I want to end off with this story. Is the band here? We're gonna just take some time to worship and pray for each other. Because when you see that even that husband of yours or that wife of yours has been called, has been appointed by God, and you start to treat them, you have the ability to bless that person, to lift them up, or you have the ability to crush them spiritually when you only treat them in the flesh. Isn't that true? Have we not seen that in marriages or in relationships? That sometimes, you know, my wife said yesterday, hey, we must compliment this one child of us more because we're always like saying, do this, fix this, do. And sometimes you just go and say, hey, do you know everything in the natural is different, but this is who God says you are. And the story is this one guy, this one student that came one day. We had a first year's camp, and so we're standing outside here in Simonsburg. It was a first year's camp, and so this guy was just like crazy. He just was so negative, so critical, and I literally wanted to grab him in front of his chest and just say, "Look here, I'm gonna take you home now. I'm going to drop you in Stellenbosch because all you can say is negative things about God and you are actually influencing these other people so negatively. So I just actually want you to get out of this place." So we're standing there at this braai there this evening, this Saturday evening, and this guy is just going off against churches and against this and da-da-da-da, and he's just like negative and he's spilling it out, he's giving it out. And my flesh is getting worked up, you know. I'm just thinking like, you know, there's a lot of things I have grace for, but not if you influence, especially other young believers. Because the Bible says it's better that a millstone is hung around your neck, you know, than you offend a young believer into hell. So I felt very tense, you know. But now as I'm standing there, this guy walks around. He stands on the other side. And the Holy Spirit says to me, because now I'm angry. And the Holy Spirit says to me, you are judging him in the flesh. I'm thinking like, okay. And the next words was this. He says, that guy one day is going to work with you in the office to do mission trips. And I was, get behind me. There was lots of things that came to mind except what God said, you know. And I remember going, we was in Eendracht courses. I remember going and I stood there the one evening at Fences, and I just for half an hour, because he was dancing right in front, and I was just praying. I said, God, you've convicted me now, because I treated this guy completely in the flesh, but what you've seen over him is much different. So I pray that you'll start to use this guy. 6 months after that, the guy came to church, got spirit-filled. 4 years later, after his engineering degree, he sat next to me in the office doing the missions of the church for a whole year. His name is Kulain. And every morning when I worked in there, and I love Kulain, we've got a great relationship. Every morning I just think like, wow, if I treated him in the flesh and didn't listen to what God said, I wonder if I would have broken him down maybe. I wonder if I would have maybe been the hindrance in releasing him. And God reminded me how I got saved, because I had a teacher that would just come and speak life over me all the time. He would take me away on weekends. He discipled me and he just said, hey, this guy is one day going to preach the gospel. I haven't seen that guy for 25 years. But when I'm going to see him again, Mr. Smith, I'm going to give him a kiss and I'm going to give him a big present. Say, thank you for seeing in me what I couldn't see in myself. Isn't that what the church is about? To release people, to show them who Christ says they are. Will you stand with me this morning? Now, I want to encourage mothers and fathers here, because sometimes we get so bogged into the everyday life things that we forget what God has spoken over our children. That we forget what God has spoken over our family member. Maybe there's somebody that's wayward, that's run away, that's a drug addict. Stop praying out of panic. Stop praying out of fear. Because we love to react. When last did you ask God, God, what have you got to say about our nation? When I pray for this nation, I said, God, you said that this nation will be a breadbasket for Africa. That's what you have got to say, and you have the final word. It is written. Did Jesus not live his life from that place? It is written. This is what God has got to say about it. Isn't that the place that every Christian must live from? There's this one tall guy here. Are you guys ready almost? Okay. When he was grade 10 in Paul Roos, I remember David Krieger and I, we were praying together one morning in David Sonnenberg. And as we're praying for this specific guy, now he's this thin little guy. And he won't mind me saying it, but as the three of us are praying together, we say, God, who's the next leader? There were four guys there, and I was thinking like, my choice was this other one. And God specifically told us, Ben Jason will be the next head boy. Now that's grade 10. You'll be the next head boy of Paul Roos in his grade. And the three of us started to agree on it. He said, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to trust God. God showed us a couple of other things. And you know what? 3 years later, we were not surprised when the new head boy was announced. But it's going to take some effort. So I remember we were in Natal, so we drove through. I took my son Josh to go and watch Ben Jason play for Craven Week, and we were just praying over him. I said, Josh, we're going to agree that Ben Jason is going to play his best game, because God said that he's going to play for the Springboks. He's going to make the team. And the ball just bounced for Ben Jason. It was just amazing. He played Western Province Craven Week, and the ball just bounced in the right place all the time. Ben Jason played 3 games. They beat Natal 64. Sorry for all the 63 or something like that. At the end of that week, Ben Jason was announced. He made the junior Springbok squad. He's standing there and said, God, we just love it when you have spoken. We just love it if you can take a little thin great 10 guy that is nowhere, and your word can be released over his life. And I want to encourage us, some of us, you need to think differently of the people in your small group. The guy who's preaching tonight is called Deval Esterhazen, and we had a small group. One of the first small groups that I had were 9 people. 7 of them today are full-time pastors. Philip Bosov, Deval, Ross van Niekerk. 7 of those 9 people in that small group are full-time at work in the kingdom of God today. You never know who God places around you. But that means you have to have spiritual eyes first to see who Christ is. Otherwise, it becomes flattery. It becomes because you speak stuff because you want to look great because of the people that you release. That's got nothing to do with you. It's just, what has God got to say about it? And so I want to invite us. I really feel God is inviting us to open up our spiritual eyes again. Even as a church, we've been through a big storm, but now it's time to move on. The season is moving on. God is opening up stuff. The other night at Bible school, we were just on our faces, just lying there. No, canceled all the sessions because God decided He wants to speak His word. He wants to prophesy. And then we cancel. And I'm just saying it prophetically that we're going to come to a place where we don't need a sermon every Sunday to psych people up. When people are going to come through that door, they're going to fall on their faces. Because there's a group of people that say, hey, we're not going to come to you, God, through Simon. We're going to come to you because we're Peters. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to stay in the Spirit. And like we spoke last week, there's the continuation. Come, be a builder. But you have to do spiritual things in spiritual ways. Some of you must bring your gifts to God. Lord, you led captivity captive. You gave gifts to men. You gave gifts to women. Don't think your gift is insignificant. Don't think you are insignificant. You are here not by chance. You are in this town not by chance. You are in this church not by chance. Because God appointed you to be here. God called you. And as a leader, I'm not going to beg you to be here or to stay here. I'm just going to ask you, what has God got to say about it? Because once we come into agreement about God's purposes and about what God says for each other and over each other, and there's a community of celebration and honor, doesn't matter what the world says, because they're going to spread rumors. They're going to say, no, 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 that's from the devil. That stuff they do in the Holy Spirit, that's from Beelzebub. But leave those people. Leave the critical behind. But let's walk over the Jordan. For some of us, this morning is a Jordan experience. Just to say to God, God, I want to say yes. I want to begin to see the way you see. I want you to show me how you see me. Because I look at myself as a loser. I look at myself as insignificant. Lord, I'm not charismatic, or I'm not this, I'm not that. And Lord, I can't even pray for people. There's some of you here, you are so afraid to pray for people. But you know what? That's fine. Just start somewhere. Start somewhere in your heart. Maybe God has given you the gift of giving. Maybe you can just encourage by putting your arms around somebody. You don't need to pray. But come with faith. Come because you've seen. Come because God has given a release of your life. Mommies, when you take those kids and you think like, oh, I can't even barely sleep through night. This is crazy. I feel I'm going to die. It feels I'm walking away. Lay hands on those kids. Prophesy over them. Speak life. Those kids are going to do much greater work than what you could ever dream of. But you have the ability to release them. Who do you say Jesus is? So that's the invitation this morning. And I hope, Maria, we have got enough oil. But if you feel comfortable with that, we're going to take some oil and we're going to anoint everybody. Okay, oil is just a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but we are anointed ones. God has anointed us. It's the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you are here this morning, you're not Spirit-filled. You've never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? then come. It's for you. God has given you the ability to move in the gifts. He says, you are that gift. Before you do stuff, you are that gift to the church. So I'm going to pray for us, and then maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you've just walked away. Maybe you're afraid. But you have a desire to walk in revelation knowledge, where you don't base your life on what you see around you. You don't base your life on your circumstances, but you've seen God. Every day when you wake up, you've seen, you know what He's promised, you know what He's spoken. And you hang on to those words over your children, over your family. God, it is written. You have said it. And we're spiritual people. So Father, this morning we thank You, Lord, that I thank You that You've appointed people to live in this time. Thank You, Father, that there is not one person here by chance or by coincidence this morning, but You've drawn us with Your everlasting love. And this morning, Lord, we pray for spirits to be awakened. We pray for a rising of Your church, Lord, the ability to see what You see. Not to be spooky, God, not to run up and down for miracles. We rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We rejoice, God, that You've opened up heavens, and Father, You've given us the ability to walk in such an authority, to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. But this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that You will awaken and You'll release and You'll stir, God, inside of us, Lord. Lord, we deny the flesh, we deny ourselves, we deny the lies, we deny the stuff. And Lord, this morning we ask that You open up our eyes to see who You are, and open up our eyes to see who the people are that You've placed around us. Lord, it's not losers, it's not just ordinary people. It's people that You have chosen and appointed to live in this time. Thank You, Lord, for Your anointing that breaks every yoke. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're the breath of God. And we invite You, Lord, into our homes, into our relationships, into our workplace, into our studies, into our families, into the nights when we sleep, Lord. Thank You for visions. Thank You for dreams. Thank You for release, Lord, of just the opening up of heaven's gates, Lord. Lord, we refuse to submit to the spirit over this town that brings just intellectual pursuit. We refuse, God. We want to be spiritual people that stand with the sword and stand with the building truffle, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You have called us to war. You've called us to stand strong and do great and mighty exploits like Daniel. And Father, this morning we pray for release again, Father. Send Your word. Send Your word to the Simon so that the Simon will be Peter, God. Send Your word. Give us the keys. You've promised that You will build Your church. And this morning again, Father, we step back, even as leaders, we step back and say, Lord Jesus, come and build Your church. Come and build Your church. Jesus, come and build Your church. But in the way that You want to build it, God. Not in two songs and three songs and announcements and this and that, Lord. Jesus, come and build Your church. So Your bride is making herself ready. Come and build Your church, God. Come and build Your church in our nation, Lord. Lord, remove criticism. Remove unbelief. Remove every spirit of intellectualism. Remove the stuff, Lord, that wants to hinder us from walking on water when You've called us. Thank You for a stirring of faith. This morning we say again, You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.